piss on. All right. Well, do you guys believe in the victory? I don't know. Do you guys believe in the victory? All right. We're gonna do us a little experiment here. Ah, Davey loves it when I do this. Huh? Hey, I'm going to preach the word, brother. See? But we're going to, you know, when we did that song earlier, George, okay? We did that thing where there was more on this side physically than there was on this side, and we said we're going to measure spirit. So we're going to do that a little bit. Now, normally Angie's in here because she used to be a cheerleader many, many moons ago. And so she's not in here, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to kind of do a cheer. You guys ever been in one of those high school gymnasiums where they do that we've got spirit, yes we do, we've got spirit, how about you? And then the other side says, you know, they answer, we've got spirit, yes we do, we've got spirit, how about you? Well, we're going to do that. Oh, yeah. But we're going to change it up a little bit. All right? It's I love Jesus, yes I do, I love Jesus, how about you? All right? And then this side's going to answer back for you. All right? Now, which side would like to be the one that starts? You will? All right, we're going to start with this side. All right. Now, if you guys want to stand up, if you think that would add volume to your voices, and I'm going to tell you right now, yes, it will, get on up. Okay? Y'all can stand up too. Huh? Well, let's just put it this way. He better hear you. All right? Actually, Joe, perfect timing. Come here, man. Joe doesn't know what's going to happen right now. Isn't that correct? Joe is a brand new babe in Christ. You guys, amen, man. That's awesome. We love Joe. Yeah. Yeah, he's still gullible. Yeah.
That came off in, huh?
Yeah. Joe, he's a good guy, man. You're going to judge.
Okay.
Yeah. See, it's okay, buddy. You can come up, too. We're going to judge. He's going to make a spiritual discernment as a young Christian as to which one of us feels the power of the victory a little more. Ah, yeah. So that's what you're going to do. They're going to start screaming at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you basically just have to listen. We're going to do it twice. You know, and then this side, and then you guys again, and then this side again. All right? We're going to do that. Okay? You guys ready? On the count of three. Huh?
Oh, Jackie, yeah. Get that
thing. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Now, I know you guys are a little farther down south. It's you, not y'all. So, all right, here we go. All right, you guys ready? Jackie done cleared her throat, man. This side's got something going now. All right, here we go. Count of three. We're going to one, two, three, and then start, all right? Not one, two, and then start on three. We got to get that straight right away. Here we go. One, two, three. All right. Have a seat, guys. Have a seat. All right. I'm sorry. All right, Joe. Now, hey. Joe, which side do you feel really felt the victory more tonight?
Well, it's tough. Felt like I was back at a pep rally.
Now, wait a minute. I did want to point this out. Don't say this side because your wife's over here. Or because Ann and Nikki's over there, or other people that you're related to in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but precisely really, really well, and actually really hard to determine because they both love Jesus. So
they both love Jesus. Both screaming.
Excited for it. So.
You say they both sides would like the victory?
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy the victory the same?
Absolutely.
Very good. Awesome. He's running for president. We're going to be in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. And this is what it says. It says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in gentleness, in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Almighty and glorious God, Father, we thank You, and we praise You, and we glorify You this day, and we just thank You, Father in heaven, from the bottom parts of everything that we are, for the victory. Father, that words can't express what that means to us. And Father, we pray that as we face these things today, and as we look into Your Word, Father, that You will open the eyes of our heart, that they may be enlightened to see, Father in heaven, the fullness of Your glory. Father, we love You. We thank You and praise You to the glory of Your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when people asked what was the theme for the rally, a lot of people actually emailed back and asked, you know, what exactly is the theme? And the theme was victory, so bring it. And, you know, bring the victory, but not just bring the victory, Satan, bring the war. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about the mindset of a warrior. You know, and I started talking about the idea that the mind of a warrior never looks at defeat. I mean, if you go into battle looking at defeat, what do you find? Defeat. You're going to die. Because if you go in there thinking, somebody's going to kill me, somebody will kill you. So the mindset of the warrior is always constantly victory. See, and that's the theme of the entire New Testament, is victory. You can open it up anywhere in the Word of God and you will find victory. You will find the idea of gaining the victory, the idea of what costs us the victory, the idea of all these things. You'll find those things in the New Testament letters. You know, and here is no different. We read this, a lot of times we start right there in Galatians 6:1, and we start with that, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness." Each one. See? He says, restore them in that spirit of gentleness. But what we don't a lot of times put into the mix with that is that Paul had just got done leveling the playing field. See, in Galatians 5, Paul listed what made someone spiritual. The key there is not someone in sin, you who are spiritual, go to them. It's not going to them. It's the idea of being spiritual. See? It's the idea that Paul in Galatians 5 has now listed verbatim what the deeds of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. Look at that. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. He puts these things out there in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 23, and this is what it says. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now to those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Paul here is talking about the victory. He's talking about the overcoming power of the individual. And see, when we toss Galatians 6:1 in there, if someone is found in a trespass, you who are spiritual, go to such one in a spirit of meekness. I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't gained the victory, you can't take somebody else to the victory. See, that's the key. If you don't know what the victory tastes like, how can you explain it to someone else? You know, I'm a big commercial guy. I listen to ESPN radio while I'm on the roofs, you know, and doing those kind of things because it's sports and you don't get a lot of filth and you don't get all the garbage, you know, a lot of times. So I listen to the ESPN radio and they have these commercials come on. And I wanted to mention this to George, the word thing, you know, where if it's not really a word, there was a commercial on there and he mentioned some word and he said, dude, is that a word? And he said, say it three times. So the guy said it three times and said, now it's a word. So as long as you say it three times, man, it's a word. But one of the great aspects of one of these commercials was about sports itself. Now, I'm a big sports guy. My wife always tells me if there's a ball around, I'm going to pick it up. Okay? Because I will. If there's a basketball game going on, I'm there. You know, if a softball, whatever, I'm there. If somebody picks up a hula hoop, I'm not doing it. All right? But I'll cheer somebody on. Okay? And in this commercial, it basically defined amateurs versus professionals. You know, and I thought, well, this is a really good definition, you know. And this is what it said. It said, amateurs practice until they get it right. Yeah. And then it switches gears on it. It says, professionals practice until they can't get it wrong. See, that's the real deal in this. See, we as Christians, we as the very seed of God, we as those born again, those who walk according to the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, ought to be those who by reason of practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, who are willing, who are ready to take of the meat and solid food. We ought to be practicing until we just can't get it wrong. And when we can't get it wrong, we are defined by Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness. All these things define the very nature of who we are. And in doing that, we now set a standard for those who are young in the faith, amateurs you might say, to achieve the goal of never getting it wrong. See, when we look at the victory, the one thing George brought out that I hate to step on, but I'm going to use it anyway, was he talked about this idea of choice. The only thing that really belongs to us is the choices we make. And, or the ability to make that choice, I guess you will. And I want us to know that before we started this, I asked the question, do we believe in the victory? And people said amen, and they believe in the victory, and I thank God that they said that, and it's a wonderful thing to say, but I wanted to explain something to us. The victory does not only rely on the hands of God, but the victory relies in our hands as well. See, that's the simplicity of the message. We believe in the victory. Then why is there failure? Failure is not on God's part, but on our own. See? When Paul here levels this playing field, he looks at these guys and he says, I want you to understand, if you really believe in the victory, if you really understand that the most important fact is the idea that God has now, or is now, transforming your nature, you will win. You've got it. You will overcome. I want us to look at, if you will, at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. The single most important fact to realize if you are going to make it as a Christian is the idea that your nature will change. And you know, I used to take it for granted that I was preaching to the choir, but we can't do that anymore, can we? We've had, praise God, 5 immersions, 6 immersions in the last year. Several of them from within the body. Praise God. And it's important for us to realize that not everybody has the victory in mind. So we're going to read this and we're going to look at this today. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And this is what it says. It says, if you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, Hold on, guys, I lost my place. But God, being rich in mercy, in verse 4, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. You know, I can't help but picture, you know, George said he didn't remember the gutter. Good. But I can't help but picture just how far God has brought some of us, especially myself. You see, I was in the gutter with George. Different gutter, different city, probably different state at that point in our lives. But same gutter. See. And we have to understand and we have to realize that God has transformed, has changed something. He has taken us and Colossians says He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and He's transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. We have to wrap our minds around the idea that something different has happened. You see, because what we end up with a lot of times is the idea that the flesh and the spirit have to learn to coincide together. You ever seen that movie, The Fox and the Hound? I thank the Lord never have. But I understand that the premise of this is there's this fox and this hound and they are naturally enemies. According to their training, their raising, and all this stuff. And they quickly become these friends. It's a great little story for kids. I understand that. It's very nice and very pleasant. But I think a lot of times people kind of treat the flesh and the spirit the same way. See, naturally they are enemies of one another. And yet what people will oftentimes try to do is they try to mix the two together to kind of bring them in and just say, let's just get along. Let's just learn to coincide together. Let's just learn. And they call this victory. What a shame. What a sham. See? Have you ever in your life seen anyone who still maintains the ideals and the characteristics of the flesh be a success in the kingdom? Does it happen anywhere? I would liken it to this. If you take what you were and try and maintain that with what God tried to make you, it's the same thing as killing something and then hanging it in the closet. Pretty soon the stench is going to rise up. Next time you have a pet that dies, when Eileen has her pet die, I'll hang that puppy in the closet. We'll see how long it is before the stench rises up and starts to drown out everything else in the house. See, it's the same thing. When we take and try and drag who we were with us, we negate the victory of who God has made us. See, that's the problem. You know, you guys ever seen that movie Roots? Raise your hand if you've seen that movie. You know, Mike, you ain't never seen that movie Roots? You've seen parts of it? Okay, Kunta Kinte. Kizzy. Okay, Fiddler. Just throwing out some names, you know, in the movie. It's about Alex Haley. It was his family's things. Okay. You know, when you have to stop and explain a sermon, it's like a joke. It ruins the whole thing, man. No. You know, one of the things that movie depicted was slavery in America. And one of the ironic things about that movie and about slavery in itself was the end. You know, and I keep recalling this. And the end of slavery was basically premised in this. They, praise God, they were free. Praise God, they were free. Thank goodness, I'm free. Now I'm free, now I'm free, now I don't know how to be free. I don't know how to tag along the victory. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to be. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's going on around me. Basically, I've been told you've gained this freedom, but basically that's it. I've gained it. Now what? So guess what they ended up being? Slaves. They ended up staying on the very same plantations. They ended up doing the very same work. They ended up with this title of freedom without the actual glory of freedom. Many of them had to fight and die to gain that. But many of them just died on the very same plantation that they were owned by in the beginning. See, and if we in our lives do not realize that we have the victory, and realize that we have the Spirit of God, and realize that we are free, and realize how to be free, and how to maintain our freedom, and how to live our freedom, and how to live the victory, then we too are still slaves of the flesh. We're still there. We got the title. I got the title, brother. I'm free! What's that mean? Nothing's changed. I'm still here. I'm still on the same plantation. Paul said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in His mercy. Has taken us and He's removed us from the flesh and He has seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are no longer on the plantation, and we had better wrap our minds around that. Because if we don't, we have lost the victory. Lost it. I want you to look with me, if you will, at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. See, this leads right up to what we were talking about. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, where we're talking about that list where he put the spirit and the flesh right beside each other. And this is what he says in 16 through 18. Right before that list, he says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." That sounds pretty much like a guarantee, doesn't it? If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. Wow. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are these. I'm going to read that again. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Do you still think the two can coincide? Do you think that we can just mingle them in there together, and the victory is that we've learned to get along? Yeah. North Korea and South Korea can say they get along, but they're still a DMZ. They're still a dividing line. We can say we get along, but there's still war. The choice we make, the one thing that's in our power, is either we are going to choose to ignore the battle, or we are going to choose to gain the victory. Let's keep reading. "For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please." One thing in victory, the mindset of a warrior is it's never about me. It's always about the good of the kingdom. He also says here, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." You know, in the Galatian church, they were inundated with law. They were inundated with circumcision. You know, Paul said right at the very beginning of this chapter, he said, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, you've fallen from grace. Christ is of no effect if you place yourself under law. So what he's talking to them about here is this idea of this victory. He said, you know what, why are you so soon? In chapter 1 he says, why are you so soon turned? You know, I'm amazed at this, that you so soon are turned to another gospel, which is not really another, but there are some who would pervert Christ. Twist Christ. A little bit. Still the same Christ, maybe even still the same baptism. But yet there's this little twist of law, of circumcision. See, that's the slavery. That's the slave who never learned to be free. That's the slave who never gained the real victory, who never understood that he was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know what the victory is? Awareness. Awareness of who we are, whose we are, and where we are. When we're aware of that, we've gained the victory. It's a guarantee. Because he says there, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not. Crucify the old man. I mean, we can go through a million scriptures, can't we? Put to death. Steve Doty, go down in the basement and whack that sucker. Yeah. We can line scriptures up and we can put them in nice little portfolios and we can outline lessons with scriptures that define that we ought to kill the flesh and live in the victory of the glory of the Spirit of God. You can line them up all day. But until this brain wraps itself around that, you cannot see. And you remain on the plantation of the flesh. See? The victory is in the hands of God and the hands of the individual. God has presented it all. He laid it out there for us. He said, here it is. I will raise you up in the newness of life. Just for you guys from Lancaster, I'll tell you right now that I have this little pet peeve of any more cliche or what I call bumper sticker scriptures. We can quote them. We can say them. But we really don't give them the essence and the fervency that God intended them to have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Think on those things. George brought it up in Colossians 3, man. He said, if you've been raised up with Christ, do what? Stay in the flesh. No, what did he say? Set your mind on things above. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to set your mind on things above. He also brought up Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says what? Give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? There's a little sentence in there that we kind of skim over a lot of times. By the renewing of your mind. Whose control is it in? He will transform you, but you must renew your mind. See? We have to, put the fervency and the meaning back in the text. We got to put the meaning back in the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavens. That's what God said. I have exercised my power in raising you up to walk in the newness of life. You think about that for a minute. I have raised you up and made you to walk in the newness of life. The new creation is the very cornerstone of who we are. It is who we are. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17. You know where I'm going with this, Mike? You know what this one is, man. I didn't mean to call you out there. I know you're still in Bowling Green. Or at least a little north of it. Look what he says, 14 through 17. Paul says here to the church at Corinth in his second letter to them, he says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this. Now, who concluded it? They did. Paul said, I've concluded this. I wrapped my mind around it. I got this in my head. I love to yell. That one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live to themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I have concluded this, that one died for all, so that those who live might no longer live to themselves, but to Him. I have also concluded that those who are in Christ are a new creature. That the flesh, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ this way, I have concluded we don't know Him this way any longer. Paul said, I wrapped my brain around it. I have concluded this. Through faith, through the Spirit, through the Word. I have said it in my mind. Now, I don't know that I have to tell you this, but I would be willing to bet that because we have the most written about our beloved brother Paul, that he was probably, and I'll say arguably or unarguably, because we don't read that much about these other guys, I will say that he was probably the most victorious person other than Jesus Christ himself that I've seen in the New Testament Scripture. Well, but Paul was beaten. But Paul was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was, all these things happened to Paul. How was he victorious? Wrap your minds around victory. All these things happened to Paul, and yet he said in the end of his life, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul understood when he came through the battle, he won the victory. Because he had concluded that he did not even recognize himself according to the flesh. Because he rose to walk in the newness of life. And see, that's it. When we cease to recognize ourselves according to the flesh, guess what doesn't matter anymore? Whatever happens to this flesh. Because the victory is in the real reality. Beyond the senses. Beyond physical senses. Because we, by way of practice, have had our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our spiritual senses. Henceforth, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness which nobody can take. If we are convinced, I believe it says that back here. For I am convinced that he who promised is faithful. I have wrapped my mind and concluded that the victory is here and that I am there. I am a child of God. I live in glory. I no longer live in the flesh. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's in the Galatian letter as well. You want to talk about victory? Look at the mind of Paul. And let us conclude this. Let us wrap our brains around who we are, where we are, and whose we are. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is time to come off the plantation of the flesh and live in the freedom and the victory of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is enmity with God. You know what that means? Hatred, anger, contention. They cannot coexist. If they are existing together, the victory is absent from that life. Guaranteed. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Not even death, physical death, can stop the Christian. There is no one worthy to defeat me. That's the mind of a warrior. That's the mind of a soldier in the resurrected army of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel and the dry bones. Yeah, I love that story. Ezekiel and the dry bones, the vision. And you know what it says about that vision? They all marched steady and they stayed in their ranks and they moved forward and they marched through and there was nothing going to stop them. Because they had the mind of the warrior. They had their minds wrapped around the victory before the battle even began. Wow. Victory. So bring it. Bring me the victory. You know what you say when you say bring me the victory? You know what you say, Mike, when you say bring me the victory? You're right out here on the end, on the aisle, and I walk up and down here all the time. You're in trouble. You know what they say? Amen. You know what you're really saying? Bring me the war. You're inviting it. That's right, victory. Say it again, buddy. There you go. What'd you say, George? Training them when they're young. Victory. It means bring me the war, because I already know I won. Bring it. Satan, bring your best, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your best soldier, you yourself, Satan, cannot deal with me, because it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And I already know he done whooped you, and he gonna do it again. Bring it. Victory, so bring it. What a great day. Start our rally. Great message by Brother George about victory, about self-examination, about understanding, about choice. What a great day. But you know, every day you wake up in Christ is a great, victorious, and glorious day. You know that? Because it is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you. Because you are not here, but you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. So every moment you live in Christ is filled with victory and glory and power and awe and wonder and amazement. And notice I never said sorrow, failure, and defeat, and ugly, and darkness. See, victory is in your hands as well as God's. Defeat's in your hands. Yours alone. Victory. So bring it. We're going to close out tonight. That's what this weekend's about, guys. Victory. Power. Glory. All. I thank Brother George for coming and bringing that great message. I thank everybody that came out tonight. I know we're going to hang around a while because Steve hopefully is coming in soon, and this is the address he has, so we're going to do that. But I want you guys to really focus your minds on who you are, whose you are, and where you are. Because in that, when you conclude that, you have the victory.